One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome back to Supercoach Edge. It was a week of carnage again for those who owned the likes of Stewart and Young, who both went down through injury, along with those owners of D'Ambrosio and or Sanders, who, of course, drew the short straw as sub-candidates. But on top of that, we yet again had the underperforming primos with the likes of Green, Steele, Marshall, Miller, and Jackson among those that just didn't hit the mark. But we are thankful that it was the best 18 week yet again, considering that. But now, Liam, we're back to full 22 teams. So as Selby of Moriarty's Magic likes to say on his podcast, it's the equivalent of the tide going out, and we're left to see who is left stark naked as the water recedes, as now it's time where your entire team is exposed, deficiencies and all, with no best 18 to hide behind. Are you left starkers, Liam?
I'm looking at my side and I'm not feeling too comfortable.
Have you got bathers on? Because the tide's going out.
Fuck, I don't know. No, actually, you know what? I think I do. The issue is more so that the tide's going out and I'm going with it.
Oh, well, at least know it. You won't be exposing yourself to anyone.
No, I'll just be drowned at the back.
Well, the tide's going out and I think my budgie smugglers are going with it. So I'm just holding on ever so tightly to make sure I'm not done for indecent exposure. But I do like that little analogy there from Selby. It always makes me laugh.
Yeah, it is good. And I think just to your point, like just to show how many underperformers we actually had, especially with the primos or our, you know, usually reliable primos, we had the upcoming superstar and Harley Reid having to fly the flag for most of our sides. I mean, in fairness, he did score 147. So did pretty well. So it wasn't a bad score, but the fact that, you know, we had to rely on him to really be the ceiling score isn't great. And perhaps after all this, I think there's been a few people trading him out. He is looking more and more like he might actually be a keeper.
Yeah, that's true. And I think we floated the question a week or two ago about the potential for it. And I think I spoke about it in my team talk video, just purely because I think that I wanted to sort of conserve trades. But it's looking more and more likely that he's sort of adjusting to senior level quicker than what we thought, especially those people, as you said, that traded him out, what, after his third game or before his third game. So, they'd be kicking themselves. And, might be a bit of a blessing in disguise there with the likes of him. Might be the savior for all of us in the forward
line. I mean, he's now got up 186.6K. He went up 75.2K on the weekend. Jesus. And his break even, he sits at price 393.9K. His break even is now minus 30.
Minus 30?
So, like, his projection, if he scores 93, he goes up another 56K on the weekend.
Wow.
If he scores 93 in the next 2 weeks, which is his average, so that's just projecting that forward because he's obviously a rookie, he'll end up in round 8 at 485.1K.
Wow. Oh, that's insane. That's one thing I've kind of learned across the journey is just to try and back in the rookies as long as possible. But again, it's so hard because even like this is the time of the year where you have to make that choice of cashing them in, or do you persist in the hopes that they, you know, re-energize their cash gen?
Yeah. And I think to an extent, a guy like him, you knew he had the job security and you knew he was going to get the opportunity as well. So I think backing in someone like him over potentially a Sanders or even a McKercher, McKercher's probably similar, has the role or has the opportunity in an underperforming side, but Sanders is probably the one that you would probably liken him to. But yeah, definitely Ali Reid gone to the moon yet again, which is nice.
You wouldn't read about it. You wouldn't read about it, Liam, would you?
And just like impact. He's like he's going to be like the perfect super coach player because it's an impact player. Yeah. Like looking at his stats from the weekend, like they were good, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But like he only had 19 disposals. 3 marks, 2 tackles. He kicks 3 goals, 1. But like...
And doesn't reflect in those stats either. Like he took a nice hanger as well.
Yeah.
In kicking one of those goals.
Exactly.
Yeah, looking forward to holding him for as long as possible. But we've seen that like with Dacos. A lot of people jumped off him.
Yeah.
And he ended up re-energizing his cash gen and then also his output as well. So same
with Shees, I think.
Yeah, Shees. Yep, 100%. So there's been a bit of a path that's been laid out before Reid that other players have traversed. So
yes, that is true.
Yep, very, very exciting.
Yes, but anyway, before we do get stuck into it, if you aren't following us across our socials, we'll run through where you can find us. And on YouTube, if you search Supercoach Edge, you will find us there. And make sure you subscribe so that you know when our content does drop from week to week, so you can be the first to watch it, get the insider scoop. On Twitter, you'll find us at @Supercoach_Edge, Damon at DamoJ88, myself at @LiamEvans_95, Facebook and Instagram, search Supercoach Edge, and you'll find us there. But get some T-Dollar Brown insights from, from us. I hope our insights are better than that.
I was going to say, like, surely the bars, he's kind of below the bar. Hopefully we eclipse it.
For multiple reasons.
Yeah, we've been so inspired. I think that the one thing that we're probably inspired by T-Dollar Brown is the tangents that we go off in. So, like, we'd also be analysing what is in the kebab of, you know, the kebab that's being eaten by one of the two people that's involved in a fucker. Yeah.
If I had to go to the press conference, I would just skip all other questions and just be like, I need to know
what.
Sorry, not I need to know. I gots to know.
I gots to know. You've done it. Oh, very good. Well, with that, let's leave it there because you've set the bar higher than what T-Dollar Brown will. So very, very nice. But let's delve firstly into how we both performed for the round ever so briefly. So I ended up scoring a 1,879 below par. And with that, I ended up sliding in rank for the first time and hopefully the last time this season, slid down 1.8K spots to now sit 4,018th overall. The trades that I did do were Carroll to McAuliffe, went early on McAuliffe. Also, you would have seen in my team talk last week, was more so as well to use him strategically if need be as a bit of a loophole because I had Sharp on the bench, didn't need to do it, thankfully. But then also it went McKercher to Graham from Gold Coast and then brought in a handy upgrade in Sarong at the expense of poor Colonel, the Colonel Sanders, whose fate was confirmed off the back of being the starting sub again. Cheers, Beb Dog. This week, in short, I'll be bringing in another upgrade in the form of my boy Walshy. It's undeniable. I was at the game. I spoke in my team talk video. I was at the game, fortunate because it was entertaining, not just because the Baggers won, but because I was on a Bucks with one of my mates that I used to work with at the Pies, actually. And he's a Baggers man as well. And he had to be decked out in Giants gear. Absolutely hilarious. And wore the helmet, full gear, mouth guard, had to wave the flag every time the Giants kicked a goal, which was hilarious. And he had to do a bit of a, you know, stop and drop type thing behind the Giants bench as well, hoping to get him on the broadcast, but wasn't to be. But he was on the big screen at one stage, which was quite funny. But Walshy at that game, undeniable. Pants off territory. I'd seen enough. But yeah, him, he's coming in alongside another rookie in Garcia. of the Hugo variety, because there are two, of course. As usual, if you haven't already seen my Team Talk episode that I just spoke of, be sure to jump in and check that out for a more comprehensive look into my strategy, discussing the trades I'm making and reviewing my team in a bit more depth. And these eps, of course, drop every Monday to wet your whistle ahead of our weekly eps. So make sure you just subscribe on YouTube to get notified of when it drops. Liam, how did you fare?
Yes, not well. Seems to be. I just need to record myself.
Arms and arms.
1796 was my final score. And just sorry, I've actually just been playing around my side, so I need to just undo my changes so that I can remember what who was in my side before this.
Just with that, can we create an AI of you? Being like, please, how did just... your team go? Not good.
I mean, you can just use any, insert any from the last six episodes, but anyway, I swear to God, I swear.
It'll turn, the title turn, and Liam, this is it, this is
the
week.
No, I'm literally going out to sea.
I've been a supporter.
I'm not only going out to sea, a shark has eaten my legs, dragged me out, and I'm just flailing about.
You're a virtual human chicken nugget.
Yeah, pretty much at this stage. I don't even know where to start. IVC, Jack Steele for his 84.
Yes.
That sucks. So who do I put the C on? Of course, Tom Green, who somehow underwhelms even more than Jack Steele's 84 with an 82. Once I saw that, I was like, yeah, whatever. My season's well and truly done. But my week is done. I mean, I've got Tom Stewart 62. I mean, obviously injured. I've got Wanganeen Malira's 69. Ding ding.
Hey, ding ding.
Tom Power 73, not great. Ollie Dempsey's 53. That really probably hurt me, was Tom Green. If I'd been able to get a decent captain, I would have been, you know, not too disappointed. Not happy, but not too disappointed. Anyway, onto my ranking. It was 81,323, and it was a dive, 3.5K dive deeper than good old Sammy Draper there.
I'm falling.
In slow motion.
It's like 5 minutes later.
I messaged you after that game being like, you can actually see the cogs in his head turning as he goes, maybe if I just do this slow.
Yeah, no one will notice. Okay. Yeah, it'll look like an accident where really it'd probably be the opposite. Like, you know, lose your footing, act as if you've been pushed into the ball onto the ground. Like, seriously. Oh my God. And then he was like taking the piss after the game as well, which was even funnier when like he was over there with the crowd and stuff and walking with a couple of his teammates. And he's just like, I'll do it again. Onto my knees, onto the ground. like a tree that's been chopped down. Just slowly, timber.
Anyway, I don't know what goes through that man's head. No. But anyway, in terms of trades, I did trade out McKercher and James Jordan. I didn't trade out Sanders, not necessarily. I just kind of didn't have the ability to at the time. I was busy on Thursday night at the time that, so it just made it a bit awkward. But anyway, that is what it is. And then I did trade in Will Graham, and I went early on Biggie Nguyen. So that was that. Does leave me with 636.1K in the bank. So I have.
What?
Yes, plenty of opportunity to upgrade.
Well, you're talking about you being swept out to sea. That's your, I was going to say, like, you know,
by a helicopter?
Yeah, exactly right. There's a helicopter hovering above water to Taylor pull Swift's you out.
I can get a private jet out to me.
Don't do that. Don't tweet about it, though, because you'll be done carbon emissions, everything else.
That is it. That's sitting there in the bank, ready for me to spend. Who have I got my eye on? Got my eye on Sam Walsh. Maybe a Jordan Dawson, but I think we're going to talk about some guys. So maybe I might change my mind as we go into the trading options this week. Anyway, on to our head-to-head, and I'm sure it comes as no surprise, Damon, you are on 6 wins to my 0. I am 0-6, and there's almost a 1,000-point differential coming up, minus 974. So I will be, fighting to do something to come back.
This will be the comeback of the century. It's like you're at the back of the pack on the Flemington Straight. We're about to round the bend. Yeah, exactly right. And could happen. Injuries happen, all that sort of stuff. Knock on wood that it doesn't. But
no, I hope it doesn't.
It's a long season, Liam.
It is a long season.
I have no doubt you will make your way back. But let's now jump into our first segment, our regular segment, of course, yes, with the good, the bad, and the ugly. So kicking things off with the good and a bit of a surprise name here, but recaptured a bit of his old form, Jordan Dawson. So he posted a whopping 168 and was absolutely massive and a massive, massive turnaround for him in his scoring and form overall. Before that, he hadn't managed to ton up actually. So yeah, massive, massive turnaround. And what a bounce back, Liam. A much deserved
bounce back
to those people, those that owners held. That held and kept the faith. Incredible. But honorable mention, can't go without mentioning this guy. Wouldn't read about it, but you would read about it. It's Harley Reid with his huge score of 147. Absolutely insane from the young gun.
It was absolutely insane. What a game from him. But anyway, on to our bad, and it is Tommy Stewart. He did end his night subbed out against the Lions on 62 after suffering a concussion, which does have that double, I guess, effect that means he will be missing next week too. Mid-season DPP can't come quick enough so that we can cover here for him this week with just the lack of defensive rookies on offer, making it hard to fill the bench.
Yeah, it's a bit of fortunate. The Supercoach guys have looked after us if they did, or if it was just a coincidence. But yeah, we both are thanking our lucky stars. In the likely though, we have Tom Green. He's looking rather green because you look at his stats line and his score was probably a bit low when you look at it because he had 30 disposals at 70% disposal efficiency and 430 meters gained. But he did have three frees against and had a look earlier, nine direct clangers. So he's almost the disease, you could say, or the illness that Martin had, that Young had, where they were still actually scoring, getting their hands on the ball, but not disposing of it well enough. So, you know, look at those guys. They turned it around. So I reckon Tom Green can do so as well.
Tom Green should turn around.
Yeah. He's got all the makings for it. We know what he can produce. Yeah. But in this case, his scoring has absolutely dried up after bursting out of the gates in his first few games. So hold the faith and he will turn things around. But for those non-owners, they're going to pick him up for an absolute bargain, much like Tom Stewart. And it's bloody annoying.
It is. It is very annoying. Now, let's move on to round seven. It's on the horizon, so let's jump into trade talk with The Price is Right.
Show me the money.
The price is wrong, bitch.
For those tuning in for the first time, The Price is Right is the segment where we discuss potential trades and targets from week to week, and sometimes we even discuss whether a specific player should even be traded at all. But before we do delve into who to target and who to punt, we do have some new DPPs, Damon. Among those, do you want to run through them, the mid defenders?
Yes. Well, we have, of course, no surprise, but it's a big saviour of ours, Nick Martin, alongside Hayden Young, who unfortunately went down with what they're calling hammy awareness. But again, DPP might be able to swing him around and cover him for at least a week if he's only out for that. But who knows? He might not actually play this week. We also have Sam Closey, the Hills Hoist. Absolute gun, Massimo D'Ambrosio, Colby McKercher, Riley Bonner, and the guy who has swept all for him, Matt Roberts, DPP. So all those guys coming in handy 100%. What about the mid-forwards, Liam?
Yep, in terms of mid-forwards, we do have Finn McRae, probably not super relevant now, but could be as the season goes on if he does get some real opportunity in the middle for the Pies. Ollie Dempsey, Tom Powell, Isaac Heaney, your absolute burn man reformed. He gets mid forward eligibility and Riley Sanders as well. Thanks. You know what? I'm actually going to say thank you to Bevo because the fact that he was sub meant that he maintained a low enough forward average. Sorry, low enough mid average that he could time in the midfield that he could get that mid forward eligibility. Not that it really matters for people because he's probably owned by about 59% of teams. 59% still own him.
Bit of a slap in the face, a little bit fish.
But at least you still can use him as a forward, I guess. Moving on to the defender forwards, Damon.
Yes, we have Alex Sexton for anyone that still has him. Don't know if he's going to come back, but is what it is. Might help you in terms of some DPP some flexibility when you're trading. Charlie Combin, Zach Fisher, and Buku Kamis. So a few names there that might come in handy, probably more so for trading than anything. But that is that. So let's delve into our categories now for Gone is the first one up. And we spoke of him just then, Riley Sanders. He's priced at 294.4K as now a mid-forward with a break-even of 107. So it is bittersweet news that he does have that mid-forward DPP heading into round seven. And the Yandog has had his cash generation absolutely destroyed by Bevo as he started as a sub, ending with a score of just 15 on the weekend. The one positive is that Bevo doesn't actually tend to like to use the same sub 2 weeks in a row. So he should be safe, but who knows? I mean, we can't really pick anything. When we do think of something and we're like, we finally cracked the code, he just switches it around on us. Has dropped 15.7K in cash on the weekend with a sizable break even now of that 107, meaning he'll only drop further. So it's probably time to move him on.
Agreed entirely. If you own him, hunt him. Next up, we've got Ollie Dempsey, mid forward eligible, 306.6K, break even of 66. First up, Dempsey is another who has been given that mid forward DPP in the new round of incoming DPP changes. If you did start him, or you brought him in before his first price change, Dempsey has made you over 158.2K in cash. So you can certainly move him on to a Biggie Nguyen or a Garcia and bank that cash. Could also potentially hold him another few weeks. Given his knack of spike games, he might be able to kick start his cash gen once more. But it does look like he's basically maxed out in cash gen. Can put in a spike game though, so could eke out a bit more cash, but equally, I don't think it's going to be a huge amount.
Yeah, exactly right. And like, I guess the pleasing thing is that, you know, if you want to hold on to him, there probably is merit. Like the break even is still below his average at the moment. So, you know, is that in combination with those spike games that he has had across the journey? Yeah, I think he's probably playing a bit more half forward as opposed to sort of that wing that he's been doing in recent times. So might be matchup dependent, who knows? But yeah, it's kind of a risk you'd need to take. Let's move on to the next guy in Jack Carroll, who is in the team that he's actually facing this week in Carlton. Midfielder, priced at 233K is the break even now of 81. So we spoke about him last week, but if you've still got him, you've got to move him on. Has been the sub for the last 2 weeks and halted his cash gen, decreasing by 9.3K on the weekend. So it's time to cash him out. With Walsh back in, it doesn't really look like he has a solid role on the side. And with Chera to still return, he could find himself even on the outer. I liken him now as being a baggers man. Storied about it. It became a bit of an ongoing gag where I'd take the piss out of Ossie for putting Paddy Dow as a sub. And it looks as though Carroll is the new Paddy Dow for Carlton, unfortunately, and back to being more so of a depth option.
Agreed entirely. Moving on, if you've got him. Now let's move on to the chopping block. And these are guys that, you know, could trade, could hold. Probably Dempsey could have fit here, but first up, we do have Zach Williams, defender eligible, 327.3K. So obviously watch the injury reports. I don't know whether there's been any more movement here, Damon, as a baggers man, but did finish the game on the bench with a knock to his Achilles. Considering his injury history, he may be put on ice, you know, for a week, even if it is like not an issue or not a major issue. His break even is 62 is still achievable, so I'd be watching his injury status, seeing if he's named, and consider whether he might actually be worth holding for another week. Although he has made you 111.2K, so you could take it and cash him in this week if it suits you now.
Yep, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's still wait to hear as to what the diagnosis is with him, but considering that he was out with that calf injury for a fair while in recent times. Obviously Achilles linked with the calf. So I reckon they might be conservative with him at minimum. So if he does play, I reckon he might even be a sub out candidate or at least he's highly rotated through the bench. So I think at this stage, I'd be looking to move him on. And yeah, he's kind of made enough cash that we're looking for him to make anyway.
I think it's justifiable now.
Yeah. Made 111.2K. So kind of makes a bit of sense for him to, yeah, to cash him out and use him as a stepping stone to a genuine primo, especially now with the DPP changes. You could swing someone like a Nick Martin or a Matt Roberts back into defense and then use him in that trade swing to upgrade to a genuine mid-primo, which is something that I'm looking at doing with Lewalshi. Let's move on to Massimo D'Ambrosio. So he, of course, got the DPP status as well as mid-defender, priced at 348.2K, was subbed out, unfortunately, in the Hawks' big win for a score of 60, which did limit some of his cash gen. Thankfully, it actually went up because I think he finished the game on 55. Champion Data did us a solid and just pushed him up to 60. His break-even is still achievable at 45, though the time to cash out is nigh unless he has a nice big ceiling game. I'm kind of in the camp of potentially holding him.
Yeah, I think just he can hold another week.
With Stewart being out, kind of need a bit of a warm body there. And I think with his scoring, he has been able to bust out some okay scores and even scores that are double what his current break even is. So still could make us a little bit of cash before we punt him potentially next week.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, but just one to watch again this week. Let's move on to the get him in. And Damon, I'm actually going to throw this one straight to you.
Well, I'm glad you did that because the pants are already off. I am ready. I am ready. So it is, of course, Sammy Walsh, priced at 576.8K with a break-even of 59. He's absolutely flying in his return from injury with scores of 166 and a 130 on the weekend. Carlton's fixture isn't the easiest in the next 4 to 5 matches, but he does have favourable averages against those that he faces in Collingwood and the Swans, which is 116 and 117, and has scored 158 and 126 in his previous two against the Cats, who he faces this weekend. We spoke about him last week, so I won't really go into too much detail, but he's priced at an average of around 103 and he's currently averaging 148. And of course, that's from two matches, so it's a small sample size, but it's a sort of scoring and performance that is eerily similar to the form he was in across the final series last year when he was given the Gary Ayres medal for the best performer across the final. So hasn't missed a beat, which is surprising considering he was a bit of a layoff from a back injury. So I've seen enough anyway, opted to hold off for another week and was happy enough to do so. 100% now confident that he is fit and he's absolutely flying, of course. So that plus the fact that getting him is an added bonus of him potentially being a captaincy option, which of course, as I said, could be as soon as this week or a VC option given his recent scores against the Cats. So I'm firmly on board. I am at the front of the bus, tooting the horn, asking people to jump on. Liam, are you tempted?
My plan was always to bring him in.
Oh, there you go. You're in.
So
you're alongside me.
I'm driving the bus.
I'm hanging, meanwhile, hanging out, just like, get in and toot the horn.
Exactly. Don't make me tap the sign, Damon. Don't make me tap the sign.
Then where the heck am I?
Don't make me tap the sign.
But I'm lost and I need to know where.
Very good. Very good.
Moving on to the next guy. It is Jordan Dawson, 533.6K. Woof. Break even of 73. And we saw the shades, absolute shades of the old Jordan Dawson. And while we won't pick him up, unfortunately, for a sub 500K, as we had hoped, we will still get him at a 114K discount on his starting price. Ooh. Will be a value option, so it could be handy as a, you know, M8, M9 as the season progresses, as he does have a high ceiling, which we saw on the weekend with a score of 168. The absence of Crouch no doubt had a favourable effect on Dawson getting more CBAs, up from 59%, 48% to 80%. But he also used the ball much more effectively. Has a great run coming up facing Northport with the Eagles, Hawthorn times two and Richmond to come as well. So Jordan Dawson is a definite option for those that can afford him.
Do you like it? I'm a little bit worried about the Crouch effect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a sample size of really one with Crouch being out. So I don't know. I mean, we could probably look back at last year and have a look to see if there was any real correlation, but I just think the big comparison I see, apart from extra CBAs for Dawson, is he was actually playing a bit more in defense as opposed to being camped up forward. So, you know, obviously where he used to play before he was in the engine room and could ply his trade a bit more effectively. So don't mind him as an option. For me, I think he presents as a little bit of a risk, but good pedigree, as we know. So considering the 114K discount that we're getting on him. He's one of the cut price options for the season thus far. Let's move on now to the next guy in Shea Bolton. He's priced at 556.9K with a break even of 56. Are you laughing there, Liam, because of the
I'm loving that you point? Have to. No, no, I'm just laughing at the fact that you have to talk about Shea Bolton.
Oh, I thought you were making reference to an obscure 69.
That is also
reference.
Great. I'm there for yes. you.
But yes, Shea Bolton, I do think that we will need him at some stage. Such as the direness, I don't even know if it's a word, but of the forward line, we might need to call upon this guy. So Bolton may be known as one of our burn men. Collective burn men, Liam, not just me, but you also. But could be a handy option for our forward line this week and now has 3 tons in his last 3 matches, 119, 133, and 129. And he's been getting CBAs this season, though it doesn't really correlate to his increased scoring. In rounds 3, 4, and 5, we saw an increase in his scoring. He actually had then 56%, 33%, and 57%. But it does show that he is around the ball, giving him opportunity to score well at least. So with Bolton, he is sitting as the 7th best forward based on average. And all signs indicate that maybe he is going to finish as a top 6 forward. The question is whether you can get him cheaper later in the season, given his history of up and down scoring.
I'm tempted.
You're tempted.
I mean, I'm just kind of the opinion we're going to have to get him in eventually.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if he goes on a run, I want to get him in before he goes nuts.
Goes absolutely bananas.
Yeah, like, I mean, you just know how he goes on those sort of runs. But also, I don't know. It's Shea Bolton. Yeah. I don't know whether he's going to be more expensive than this. Well, I mean, his break-even's 56, so he probably is going to be more expensive than this. But I think, look, I'm going to be honest. I think at this stage of the season, I would almost be wanting to fill our mids and our defenders first. I think that's where the that's where the bulk of the scoring is coming from. Mm. The forwards, like, I mean, I know we're relying potentially on a Tom Powell, a Sam Darcy, a Cadman, a Dempsey at this stage, who are scoring, you know, 60s, 53s, 49s, not great, 73s. But I just think if you're upgrading, you want to be upgrading your mids and your defenders because that's where you're getting the bulk of the points.
Mm.
Like, that's where I feel like we're getting the reliable scorers. Like, right now, so the top forwards read like this. You got, based off total points, you got Isaac Heaney, Sam Flanders, do we both expect, Dane Zorko. Yeah, okay. Kind of playing that backline role. Luke Jackson, Harry Mackay, Jesse Hogan, Shea Bolton, Charlie Curnow, and my personal favorite, Jake Waterman.
He's the ninth
best scoring forward.
In 0.4% of teams in the competition.
Absolute bargain, though, 464K.
Jesus. He's actually gone up 95K over his past 2 weeks, having scored a 176 and a 107 on the weekend.
And like, I think people need to be mindful of the fact that please don't trade him in.
No, please don't.
Because looking at his, like before that, he had a 91. That's not too bad, but the rest have been 73, 62, and 54. So, I don't think, anyway. But I think that's the point that I'm looking at here with these guys. I just don't think you're losing points based off that.
No. The point I think you're making as well, and like it's a very important one as well, is, and I think we spoke about this even coming to the season, is that there was like no clear top 6 forward apart from potentially Heaney, Flanders. Like
Flanders
before Heaney broke out of the box, we're talking about Flanders. He was like the only one, and then we're talking about McRae
and Jackson potentially.
Yeah, and Jackson, and this kind of, you know, 6 rounds into the season. Highlights that even further. Like, it's so up in the air, apart from the fact that it's probably become a little bit clearer with maybe 2 extra players and the fact that Heaney's definitely locked in. Zorko now, provided he doesn't bloody get injured again like he always does. And then Jackson, who we spoke of. So he's still got, you know, the 5th and 6th spot open. But even so, we don't know if Jackson's going to sustain his scoring because now with Darcy back, it's kind of fallen away a bit and so on and so forth. So you know, maybe the top 3 are locked in with Heaney, Flanders and Zorko, but beyond that, we just don't know. So I'd much prefer to wait to see when the smoke clears as to, you know, who's still left standing as the top scoring. Because I'd hate to get in someone like a Shea Bolton and then he goes back and regresses back to his usual yo-yo scoring And then that scuttles you and you're stuffed. So like even Tom Powell, we spoke of a few weeks ago, like got him in the notion that he may be a top six forward. Still looks like he might be, but is being pushed down the list due to like breakout games from Waterman and the like, Jesse Hogan as well, Mackay. Like, I don't think we've had key forwards lining the top 10 as much as what we have at the moment.
Not like that. Not like that. And probably not for this long. Mm. Like, to be, and that's not based off average. That's based off total points.
Yep.
Like, we're not talking about, you know what I mean? Like, an average can sort of skew it upwards for them. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I just think that you're going to get more points overall, probably from your defenders and your midfielders.
Yep.
And that's where I'd be looking to try and find the value at this stage of the season. Like, that's where you're going to back yourself or, you know, raise yourself higher in the overall scheme of things. Now, speaking of forwards, let's talk about some more. Jack McRae, 480K. After we've said don't go for forwards, we're going to start talking about some forwards to trade in. Mid forward eligible, 64 break even. Obviously, when we say don't trade them in, it's just more so try and pick the ones that feel a bit more sure.
Yeah, secure.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing. Jack McRae, I think, could be one of those. Just because, and I think at the price you're going to pick him up at 480K, it's a bit of a difference to talking about a Shea Bolton who's, you know, 70K more expensive?
Mm. Yep.
75K, yeah. So 76, sorry. Almost 77. So Jack McRae, 480K, mid forward eligible, break even of 64. It was the scoring that we did see it. The scoring that we used to expect from McRae with a 123 on the weekend. It was like his just normal. His average score was 123, I feel. Does mean that in his last two games when he wasn't the sub, he's going at an average of 105, which, you know, you'd expect to see him certainly finish as a top six forward if he can manage, or, you know, from this stage of the season, if he can maintain that. CBAs are still pretty low, which is not great for him, going at 48%. 13% in your sub game, 29% and 34%. So the role isn't great as, I guess, as a midfielder or as a CBA mid. We do have to take note that while Libba did miss, it does look as though the bulk of his CBAs went to Ed Richards, because of course they did, who has recorded zero for the season before this weekend when he went at 76% CBAs.
Make it make sense. There's no way. There is no way to make it make sense.
Anyway.
Oh, wait, Bevers the coach. That makes sense.
So I don't think we haven't seen like the extra 5% that he cut on the weekend. I don't think are really, you know, I think it's within sort of that margin that we'll see him having. He is cheap though at 480K and should be able to finish the top eight forward, I'd expect, though obviously the Bevo factor does still remain. So who knows? He could be running around the VFL in 2 weeks, racking up 70 disposals.
Exactly right. And I just with McRae as well, like I think we spoke about it last year when he was an option and even in the preseason this year, where the one correlation I think we could find was whenever McRae had less than 50% CBAs, his average dipped, which if you highlight, go on to DFS Australia, check out CBAs for him this year as well as last year. Obviously, you know, discounting those games where he was the starting sub in round four and also round 23 last year when he was subbed out. He actually averaged in those games where he was less than 50% CBAs an 88.5, which I think is probably around about the mark of what he will, I think, average for this season, which, you know, taking into account of what top six forwards, you know, have to average in order to get into that bracket, I think 88.5 probably is around about that mark. So like you said,
lower end. Yeah.
Yeah. Could be
top eight, I'd say almost.
Yeah. Top eight. With potentially spike games as well, which,
well, that's it.
You know, we saw on the weekend potentially, you know, as one of the spike games for McRae.
And that's it compared to the likes of a Jake Waterman. I think McRae is a much better option.
No, he's someone to consider, and I can totally understand, considering that he's, you know, as cheap as he is, kind of makes a bit of sense. And there's probably, it might be the only time we see him this cheap. That's the thing. So, it's something to really think about.
Yeah.
And like we said, you know, yeah, it's not a priority, but I mean, he's down 78.4K on his starting price now after having gone down 16.7K. So with the break even of 64, chances are he's going to be on the way back up.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about McRae, we need to stop thinking of him as the old Jack McRae. Like, I think we weigh him up based off what we knew of him. I think if you looked at his numbers in terms of average in the last couple of weeks, you'd be okay with it as a top, as a forward option. So I think there's a degree of that takeaway who it is. I think he'll have spike games. I don't mind him as a pickup, as an option to pick up this week if you are in need of a forward.
Yeah, exactly right. Don't mind it. Well, let's move on to another option, and it's probably one that's a little bit less secure in Taylor Adams. He's priced a little bit cheaper, though, at 437.2K with a break-even of 66. So he returned from injury and has looked great playing the Eagles in a return match, 497 and an 87 against the Suns. He had 21% CBAs against the Eagles, taking away some of Papley and Heaney CBAs. Priced at 437.2K, as I said, could be a bit of a risky pick for a top six forward from this stage of the season. And more than likely, probably more of an outside chance at this stage, more in the line of, you know, top 10 thereabouts. But the real concern, I think, is his body, first and foremost. Can he hold up for the remainder of the season? I think he actually went off on the weekend with a bit of an ailment, but came back on again. So that's a bit of enough to suggest that it should be giving people the heebie-jeebies to be like, okay, I don't think I'll be investing that amount of money in a guy that could get injured so easily. We know he got injured over the preseason. So I think given that, I think he's too much of a risk for his price, considering that we still have, you know, Parker to return, who's going to steal CBAs, no doubt. And of course, Heaney's in there as the main man alongside Warner and the like. So for me, he's a bit of a pass. But I mean, if you're strapped for cash, need an option, and you like to live dangerously, he could be an option.
I mean, he's 30 years old, turning 31 this year. So like he's the wrong side of it for a super coach, you know, relevance player. I think he'll score well enough. I think he'll have decent games. I think he's a bit like a McRae.
Yeah.
But I think McRae will have better scoring. It's just this, it's the, I think whereas McRae's got the Bevo factor, Adams has the injury factor.
Yeah, exactly. They're one of the same, really.
Yeah. And like at 437, if he was 100K cheaper, like 337, I'd be like, yeah, jump on him. You might at least make 100K. If he doesn't finish, you know, he might be one of those players like a Tom.
Like a Nat 5.
Yeah, a Nat 5. Or even a Tom Powell, where he might finish as a top six forward, but at least if he should make you some cash along the way. But he's just not going to make you at 437K. To get 100K out of him, I mean, you could do it, but I just think it's a bit more risky.
Yeah. And it was actually subbed in his first game as well. Keep that in mind. So despite the fact that he just scored 97, played well, he was managed. And then, of course, in the other game of the weekend, was off for a fair while, only had 67% time on ground. So his points per minute actually really good at 1.28 in his first game and then 1.05 in his second. By and large, he's playing more, again, similar to what he was playing at the Pies, 41% CBAs in the weekend, a bit of an uptick on what he actually had in his first game, which is 21%. But I think we'll see that even, you know, regress even more when Parker returns as well. So he's probably rotating more so through the middle. Someone that is a definite risk, but up to you if you want to take it.
To you if you want to take it. That's it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's move on to the next guy. And interesting choice here, Jai Caldwell. 479.1K, break even of 62. Interesting choice here because he does offer a nice pod option for you with his new DPP status is now mid forward. And obviously, as we've discussed, forwards are very interesting this year.
Yes.
So he is currently in 1% of teams. What is it? Actually, 0.7%.
Wow.
So nice Uber pod for you. Obviously, with Setters and Perko out of the side due to injury, it's really allowed Caldwell the opportunity to impact in the middle with a score of 129 on the weekend, following scores of 83 and 99. And 99 the week before that against St. Kilda. And that was with Perkins in the side. I can't remember when Setterfield went down. I think it might have been that game too.
Yeah.
Can't remember now. But in those games, he had 46% CBAs, 61% and 64%, which has seen an increase in his disposal numbers as well, topping 24, 23 and 26. He's a bit of an interesting option for those who do like to look at pods, though extremely risky, as you expect that as Setters and Perkins do return, we'll see a decrease in his CBAs like in the first three rounds of the season where he had just 13%, 17% and 9%. I think we'll see an increase on that. Like, I don't think he'll go down to as low as that. I think he'll sit maybe, hopefully, it's probably wishful thinking, maybe around the 30% at the least. Setters, I'm not sure on whether he definitely comes back in. Perkins definitely does. Just because I'm wondering whether they see Durham as a defensive enough mid that they don't need Setters as well. I think they're going to try and balance the midfield mix a bit more. I think Merritt said that he and Parrish are probably more likely to play a little bit more forward to and decrease their CBAs to allow the likes of Durham, Caldwell, Hobbs probably as well, a bit more time in the middle. So I think it's not necessarily negative, but I just don't know whether he'll be able to maintain it. I think he'll still have, what did he do in season 2023? Came out averaging 78.2. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough one. I don't mind it. I'd probably want to see another week or so and then see what happens when Perkins is back. I reckon Perkins will be back potentially not on Anzac Day. From what I heard, he trained with the group mostly today and then went and did his own thing in the rehab group. So I'd say he'd probably be back maybe next week at the earliest.
Gotcha. Well, it's interesting as well that in the one game where all of those guys have played, so Setterfield, Perkins, Durham, and Caldwell, which was back in round one, Setterfield had 74%, Perkins 87%, but that's since dropped every single game that he's played. And then Durham actually had 45% in that game and Caldwell 13%. But like you say, Durham is interesting because he's had 45, 17, 48, 75, and 68. So he's actually increased. And I think you're right because he's been performing quite well. And it's that pressure that he applies around the ball as well, much needed, and provides a bit of difference, I think, in the midfield there compared to someone like a Parrish. So, yeah, what you're saying there kind of lines up. And, yeah, when the dust settles, you'd like to see Caldwell there because he's been plying his trade for quite a while, hasn't he? Waiting patiently to get his fair crack in the engine room. And I think there's going to be some stage where he actually steps up and fulfills sort of the expectations that he had as a high draft pick when he was at the Giants. So I am keeping one eye on him.
It's one of those, I wouldn't trade him in this week.
No.
But it's one to watch.
Yeah.
Because with the way the forwards are this year, he could be one that could go off. Not probably the same level as Flanders or Heaney, but just someone that could sort of average that little bit higher. Just because they're getting that midfield role.
Yeah, all about the role, isn't it?
Yeah.
100%. Well, let's round things out with an old favourite, Nicky Dacos. Everyone knows who he is, what he's capable of. He's priced at 577.3K with a break-even now of 95. So if you're one of the 28% of super coaches without Dacos, it's time to bring him in. Or for those people that potentially dropped him in the hope of picking him up at a bit of a discount, well done to you. You can do so because he's dropped 72K on his starting price. So he's now ripe for the picking. Simple as that. Get him in. He's going to be a top, probably three, top two scoring defender. So get him in at this price. He is an absolute bargain. Yeah, and just shows that people like us were willing to pay up to start him in our teams at that inflated price point. So
yeah,
you haven't got him, get him in.
Yep, that's it. Moving on to the consider and wait options. And this week we have Riley Garcia, forward eligible, 125.2K for the Doggies. He won't be on the bubble until at least next week. And Garcia managed a career high score against the Saints of 82. Has been in the system since 2020, so was a more mature body than, you know, might expect for a player priced at 125.2K. Pleasingly, though, he did have 21% CBAs on the weekend, so he could have a bit of a role that might be super coach friendly in terms of CBAs, but do keep in mind that both Libba and Sanders missed. Obviously, Libba missed and Sanders did play, but only as a sub. And Sanders had zero CBAs. So
wow.
Even when he came on, he didn't get any CBAs because
punished.
Bevo.
Get old Bev dog.
Let's have a look. Sorry, just having a quick look. Yeah, and that's probably the main difference. Bont went about the same as he normally does. Libba obviously missed, but that was all taken up by Ed Richards. Treloar had about his same average in the last recent weeks. McRae, slight increase, but nothing real major. Sanders went from 21% last week to zero, and Riley Garcia went to 21% this week, while Sanders had zero. So it's really going to be, I think, between those two and whether Bevo is trying to teach Sanders a lesson or not. Let's see. But yeah, I don't go on him early. I don't think he's worth that risk, especially with Bevo as his coach. I've seen a few people going for him, not Hugo.
Yeah, don't get them mixed up.
Yes, yeah. Don't get them mixed up. Go for Hugo. Don't go for Riley at this stage.
Go for Hugo. Have a red hot go with Hugo. Classic. But yeah, Garcia as well, like as you said, he's kind of been in the system. This is his fourth season and been in and out of the side, really hasn't had much of a chop. But CBA percentage, this is the only time that he's actually been given CBAs. Every single other game that he's played, which was, 18 games thereabouts. So, yeah, he's been played predominantly as a forward. And I'm kind of a little bit worried about that, where, you know, are we looking at the CBAs and thinking, oh, there might be a role there for him. So definitely.
And a flashy score of 82.
Exactly right. So don't know if even I'd be keen on him after his second game.
No.
So yeah, 100% keep an eye on him. Don't go early on him. And because every other game that he's played, this is what he scored, 27, negative six. Don't know how, but negative six. A 63, 43, 40, 61, 57, 45. And then an 11. And then he had a whole host of 50s, 40s beyond that. So yeah, probably going to be one of those slow burns anyway. But I don't really know if the Dogs need him.
No.
In that role. They've got so many guys that can play that small forward role. So I don't know. I don't know. But keep him on your watch list at the very least. Next up we have Lee Kalia, defender, 123.9K. Made his way into the team off the back of Sam Taylor's horrible concussion, playing his first game since 2022 after rupturing a ligament in his toe, of all things, that scuttled his entire 2023. Scored 53 first up on the weekend against the Baggers from just 5 disposals, 2 marks, 4 tackles. So he scored modestly more than what his stats indicate. Mm. Previously played the last 4 games of 2022, where he scored 14, 64, 57, and a 71 when he got into his groove. So he does show that it has a bit of potential to make a bit of cash as a cash cow. Mm. The Giants have yet to announce a timeline for Taylor's return, but have said, given the severity of his concussion, they are taking a conservative approach. So it may bode well for Aaliyah's job security. Clearly, he is a highly rated player, having been taken with pick 15 in 2021. So it is worth waiting to see if he is selected first and foremost this week. And I guess wait to see if we can get greater clarity on Taylor's timeline.
Agreed.
So, yeah, it might be one because, I mean, we've kind of at the stage now where we need to forecast ahead and look at what rookies are available. And it's looking a little bit dire at the moment. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. And probably part of the reason why you should, no need to go early. Because you're not having to, like last week, I went early on McAuliffe and it meant, because I thought, okay, I may have to pick up Hugo Garcia, McAuliffe, and Biggie Nguyen. Mm. So that was part of the reason. But now with only really two on the horizon, if that, yeah, no need to go early.
Yep, agreed. Let's move on to guys on the bubble this week. And we're going to kick off with Biggie Nguyen.
Yep, forward just say eligible. Biggie.
123.9K, break even of -64. He looked great in game one, scoring an 89. They managed just a 46 against the Hawks on the weekends. There are concerns for his job security with both Combin taking a backline role and Dawson out. But as we saw in game, it appears that Combin, you know, most likely will be thrown forward to provide another target. So could be beneficial for Nguyen, especially with Dawson set to return in a couple of weeks. Will probably be a bit of a slow burn as sort of a defender, but he can sit on the bench and make cash and be cover if you do need him. I've went early on him last week just purely because there was no one else really to go to.
And he's projected, well, he's got a break even of -64, as you said, and he's projected to go up 49.6K if he can average 44. And then beyond that, I think at the very least he's going to make around about 80K, you'd think. Mm. And that's pretty nice. So I don't think Dawson's slated to return for, as you said, another 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so might be a good thing to get him in. Hopefully he holds beyond that and, yeah, can make some quick fire cash because it's at that stage, as I said, where we need to take a little bit of a risk. And even if it's a quick in and out after a few weeks, pump and dump, as they say. And yeah, make that cash. Make it rain. Next up, we have Kane McAuliffe, midfielder priced at 117.3K with a break even of -7. Has played the two games, the first as the sub for a score of 16, and his second playing through the middle for a score of 58. Mm-hmm. There's a few out for the Tigers in the engine room with Taranto, Hopper, and Prestier yet to return. So there's opportunity for him to play a bit more through the middle. We've seen him get CBAs with 14% in his first sub game and 43% in his last match, which is a great sign. A nice option for a midfield downgrade.
Like it a lot. Another option for you in your midfield or your forward line is Hugo Garcia, 117.3K, break even of -45. He did manage 45 CBAs on the weekend for a score of 69. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's the third ding, 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 I think, of this episode. Mm. Following on from the three nonsenses happening.
Yes.
Following on from 37% and a score of 43 in his first game when I believe he was played as the sub. So questions will be there about his longer-term job security, but pleasing to see he didn't start as a sub on the weekend or get subbed off with Zach Jones being subbed instead. The other promising sign as a potential cash cow is he does seem to have decent enough scoring potential with a knack for tackling, posting 7 and 9 tackles in both games and 14 and 9 in his opening two games in the VFL. So like Steele, we do love a bloke that loves a cuddle for easy points. And I think Ross Lyon does too. So,
Yep. We're all cuddlers. We love a good cuddle. And exactly. Good to see he is also a fan, which bodes well for Hugo's long-term job security. Next up, we have Blake Drury as a forward, 123.9K with a break-even of -46. Plays a tough role for a side that will struggle. As we know, Drury has a score of 78 and 39. As a small forward, he's going to have down days reflected across his vastly different first two games, kicking 2 goals for the 78 and 1 for the 39. However, the 78 is probably a little bit overinflated with 11 marks that he took, having had just 3 on the weekend. I think I'd prefer to go for a Garcia instead of the Hugo variety. And his scoring potential seems stronger overall and has a slightly better job security than Drury.
The Drury's still out.
We're going to call him Judge. Judge Drury. What's the slogan again? The cases are real.
The people are real.
The decisions are final.
This is the courtroom of Judge Judith Shineland.
This is the courtroom of Blake Drury. Doesn't quite have the same ring.
No, doesn't. But anyway, we're going to move on to the next one, the next guy, and it is James Tunstall, forward eligible, 123.9K, break even of -11. Scored 61 in his second game, returning to the side after losing his spot following his first game in round 4, where he scored just 21 playing as the sub. Not someone we would consider shaky job security, and scoring as a tall forward won't be anything substantial enough or a potential cash cow. So please, please pass. Please.
Yep. Don't do it to yourself. We'll be like the Sharp. Is it his name from Brisbane? I was one who jumped on him. I've already forgotten. I've wiped him from my memory. Jumped on him for the first game he played. Oh, sorry, the second game I think he played, and then he wasn't in the team ever again.
Yeah, I think it was Sharp, yeah.
That hurt. The old man Fags could do it again. But to round us out, we have Toby Conway, Ruckman, priced at 180K with a break-even of negative 44. Has scores of 83 and 64 in his two matches. Though it should be noted, he hasn't played consecutive AFL games this year, appearing to play when Stanley is rested. So a bit of a rotating policy here. Thanks to the ever reliable Scott, he who shall not be named, which I just named him. But considering he played solid with a sizable 41 hitouts, it didn't really translate to easy points as it does with most ruckmen. And I guess his hitouts to advantage, they weren't rating highly. So, yeah, it's probably a bit of a dent in his game. Makes him a risky option as he's at an inflated price for a rookie, which hurts him for an R3 spot.
Yeah, especially if you've got a Naismith, like 123.9K, you can actually fork out cash to get him in.
Yeah.
And he's not playing every week. So no. It's not as handy an option as I think.
Yeah, you're not getting that return on investment.
No.
I think anytime you need to fork out money in order to bring a rookie in, you kind of, it's almost like you're obviously using a trade, but I reckon it's like a 1.5 trades you're using.
Yeah.
In some respects, because you're having to fork out extra money, dip into your bank, which could be used to obviously, you know, upgrade and stuff down the track with other guys. So
I think I'd be okay with it if he was playing every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not. He's not.
Yeah, no consistent role.
Yeah. I just don't think, long term, it's going to be worth it.
But Liam, let us move on to the next segment. We both know what it is. Regular listeners, viewers of our content, they know what it is. It is, let me do the honors here, visually, of course, using the ever-reliable prop, as you can see here on YouTube. For those people tuning in via their own ears, it is the captain's hat, because it is, I am the captain now. And for those regular viewers and listeners, they'll be familiar with the fact that in 2024, we have made the call out for people to send in their own rendition of I am the captain now. And if this is your first time tuning in, now you know. So if you're keen to be featured in our show, get to sending yours in, which of course our call was answered this week by one of our good Discord members who goes by the username Tactical Tim. Take it away, legend.
Look at me.
I am the captain now.
Oh, thank you for that, Tim. Yes. I don't know. I was racking my brain. I'm like, I've heard this voice before. It's so familiar. I reckon it's a blend between a bit of Arnold Schwarzenegger mixed in a bit of Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder. I don't know if you've seen Tropic Thunder. If you haven't, go to YouTube, type in Simple Jack, and it is funny. Yes. It's a bit of a slow character.
You make me happy.
And that's virtually what I reckon the mix is. Just put it in a blender. That's it.
I'm loving the diversity we're getting with these. Like we're getting,
it's good.
It's not like we're just getting ones that, you know, were us, imitations of us. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or imitations of the original. We're getting real diversity, real range, I want to say.
What I'm waiting for next though is for someone to send it in a different language.
Oh, that'd be good.
That'd be unique. Although, so there's an idea.
Well, we wouldn't know if that's what they're actually saying.
That is true. Although we'll use, because AI and Google Translate is pretty good.
That is
going
true.
By the ads that I've seen in recent times. We'll give it a go. And if someone just says something really, really obscene, and then we play it through. I was going to say, like, if you send it in, we will not translate it. We'll play it and translate it as we record, but that's risky because it could.
We're a family friendly show.
Exactly right. Exactly right. To some extent.
Are we?
we try to be. I don't know. What would the classification board rate us?
No, do we try to be?
No, the classification board would probably give us
PG 13 plus. Some parental guidance recommended. Some scenes may scare young viewers.
as long as they have the disclaimer at the start with you wouldn't steal a car, doon, 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 doon. The anti-piracy ad.
You wouldn't steal
And then you're like, you wouldn't steal a handbag. I love how they just go from like, you wouldn't steal a handbag to you wouldn't steal a car. Piracy is a crime. I'm pretty sure pirating a movie with I'm the captain now is different level of like stealing a car. But that's just me. I
But
don't know.
also, like a handbag to a car is also a big jump.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just like really trying to drive the point home and like scare kids. It didn't scare anyone. It just made us
Oof.
laugh. Very funny. Anyway, we got off the tangent. So thank you again for that, Tim,
Yes.
for your Simple Jack slash Arnold Schwarzenegger interpretation there. Did enjoy that. So as always, as we said, if you want to feature as a guest announcer for I'm the Captain Now, the easiest way to send yours in is via our Discord. So jump on in, do so via the link that we whack up on socials. Head to the video here on YouTube. We'll whack it in the comment section as well. So click the link, join up, free to do so. And yeah, slot into our DMs and send yours through. Otherwise, you can do so via Twitter also as well.
I really want, now that I'm thinking about what I want out of these, I want someone to get, I'd love like a Dennis Cometti, like
Oh,
version,
yes.
let's get some footy versions.
Yeah,
BT.
footy. But yes. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Boys, kick the goal. Fuck. That sort of stuff. Like, work it in. Like, how would they blend it? Like, would they
Don't even
say?
know. I haven't thought it this far ahead, Damon. I haven't thought this far ahead. I just.
Well, you could do it like a comedyism. You could do a Bruce
Yes.
McAvaney, where
Yeah.
like, you know how they got the real nice catchphrases at the end of
Yeah.
like grand finals and stuff. Like they've done it again, the Cats, or they've gone back to back to back, with Hawthorn, all that sort of stuff. So,
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here for this. You know
yep.
what? Just the world is your oyster, everybody.
It is 100%. So
Do what you like.
we've given you the canvas. Now's the time for you to just graffiti it. I was going to say apply your artistic flair, but yeah, you can do that also. But you can
Do
butcher
what
it
you
if you want.
like. Yeah,
Yep.
butcher it, do whatever you like. But anyway, in I'm the Captain Now, we chat about the VC and C options that we've got this coming week for of Supercoach or this coming weekend. As always, we've scrounged through the data around the top options for you to consider. And first up, we have none other than Max Gawn. Will he be Maxi? Will he
Ooh.
be Maxwell? Will he be
Ooh, yes.
Maximilian? Nice early VC though, sorry, for us. Playing on Wednesday night, he has a great average against the Tigers of 125.91 from 11 outings to go alongside his three-round average this year of 148. Consider strongly.
100%. Sorry, I just got distracted by myself because I realized that Paddy's hair, our white cat, is on the peak of this cap. So thank you,
Oh.
Paddy. Just always wanted to get involved in the podcast, is Paddy. But yeah, Maxi, he's treated us nicely in
He
recent times
has.
and awfully tempted, awfully tempted. Next up, we have Nicky Dacos has a 98.3 average against the Dons with a 145, which is his highest score against them. Last year in the corresponding game, hasn't been at his lofty standards for parts of this year, though looked to be back again on the weekend with a score of 133. So I reckon fair chance to back him in.
Do it. Do it. Next up, we have Romo. Rowan Marshall, he has the best average versus opponent of any player this round with a 143.4 average against the Power
What?
from five outings. Get this, his lowest score from those five games is 127.
What the hell?
Oh, I love it. I'm here for this.
Is he just like he's like Popeye and like just squeezes a
Just
can of spinach into his gullet and then just like transforms
seriously.
into a superhuman?
Just against
Incredible.
them, let's. I'm just gonna just double check that I've got those stats right because it seems incredibly wrong.
It seems, yeah, a bit fanciful, but I'm gonna back you in. I'm gonna back you in.
I'm gonna just do a quick career stats. Let's do it.
So for those people that traded him in that were, a bit bummed about his down score, geez, this will put a pep in your step, won't it?
All right. So his first game against them was in 2019. He scored 139. He then scored
Ooh.
160. 127, 132, and 159. If you have him, you have to put the VC on him or the C. I don't even care. Just.
And Port have a bit of a positive correlation as well. Probably mid-tier, probably about fifth, sixth most points they concede
Well, I
to
mean,
opposition backs.
he's going to be facing Soldo and potentially Sweet, depending on how they
They'll need more than that by the sounds of it.
Bloody hell. Just don't even put in Iraq. I mean, what's the point? He's just going to bloody come in and score 170. So
can you,
it doesn't
can you
matter.
Tag him? Can you tag him?
Yeah.
Is there a way to apply?
Willem Drew. Willem Drew will just be staying next to him at the Iraq contest.
Put an anvil, attach that to his shorts so he can't jump for hit outs.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
The Looney Tunes type scenario. Yes. But next up, we have Sammy Walsh. So has looked great since his return with a score of 166 against the Crows and followed it up with 130 against the Giants. Faces the Cats, who he's played four times for an average of 108. But the last two times he's met them, he scored 126 and a 158. Mm. So I do like Le Walshi El Capitano.
Yep, I like that too. Next option is none other than LeBont. Coming off a score of 125 on the dot, captaincy worthy. He appears to be a bit of a safe option for the Sea. His last three scores against the Dockers read 114, 182, and 100. So not bad.
Yep. But it is Bont. He bounced back nicely in the return game against the return to form game, I should say, against the Saints. Next up, we have Jordan Dawson. So has a great average against the Roos with 118.3 from six games. And his lowest against them is a 99. And his last three against the Roos read 102, 145, and 134. And he's coming into this game off the back, of course, of that 168.
Next up, we have Matty Rowell. He's only had one score that wasn't captaincy worthy this year, a 99 against the Dogs. Otherwise, he has gone 137, 159. Sorry, 137, 155, 129, and 135. And he has an average of 120 against the Eagles from five games. That average of 120 includes an injured score of six. His other scores against them are 165, 157, 101, and 171.
Wow.
If you have old mate Matty Rowell, do it.
And here I was thinking that he was already out of reach. He's going to reach the absolute moon. 640.3K is price at the moment. Gone up 68.5K. He could reach the moon. He's going to be on the moon this time next week, Liam, as we're chatting about captains. So he's going to have to book a return trip. Incredible. But next up we have, to round us out, Isaac Heaney. So he faces the Hawks. But it is the side that he has the worst average against, which is just 78.4 with a high score of 93. Though Heen Dog looks different this year. So if you need a Hail Mary, could be a nice one to end with. Different man is the reformed Burman. So don't mind it.
I'd ignore his previous form against the Hawks. Yeah, I think there's better options. If you've got Matty Rowell and if you've got Romo or Matty Rowell, Romo BC into Matty Rowell. See, if Rowan Marshall scores 125, I reckon you've got to roll the dice on a Matty Rowell C.
You break our rule of the 120. Like, this is probably the only time we'd say break the 125 rule. Given the opposition, we're kind of like, yeah, like anyone that faces the Eagles, which to their credit, they've performed pretty well in recent weeks. Yeah. But given that, plus the history, roll the dice, as you say, roll that dice 100%.
Now onto our head-to-head, Damon. In our last week, you opted for the Man of Steel, while I went for LeBont. I managed to half the differential. I can't even speak. I managed to half the differential and peg it back to two wins to three, though that is still in your favor. So we are two wins to three in your favor with a differential of 40 points. Now, Damon, I think I'm first up this week.
You are. You are indeed.
I mean,
who are you going to go choose? For? There's so many.
I'm going to choose the Godfather's weapon himself.
Oh, you're doing
Matthew Rowell.
Matthew Rowell.
Feels weird saying Matthew Rowell.
Yeah, who's Matthew Rowell? Well, for me, I'm going to just have a quick look at some defense V position. I need to see ever so quickly. This is a bit of a cheat sheet. Against the Tigs, I want to back in my man again, the big bearded one. Oh, do I do it or do I go for Romo?
The other option I'm actually going to suggest to you,
Or Walshy?
Walshy plus the Geelong give away the most
Mm.
points to opposition inside mid, so I don't mind that.
Yep. Exactly. You know what? Stuff it. I'm going with my man Walshy. Let's do it. Pants off territory. They're not
The
coming
other
back on.
option that we haven't considered, Hawthorn give away the most points to opposition ruckman. They face Grundy. Grundy faces them. He's coming off a big score as well. So
That's
another
true.
option. I mean, it's just the last game of the round. It's the worst game
Yeah.
to see a player in. But if you, again, if you needed to like go Hail Mary,
Yeah. It's our
that's the
old rule,
game.
isn't it? Like
Yeah, it's
you
the
can't put a
weirdest.
can't get a captain in the last game.
I don't know. It's anyway. I don't understand it, but.
Yep.
So hang on, who are you going, Damon Walshy?
I'm gonna go Walshy. I'll pass up the big bearded one, and I'll pass up Romo, even though it kind of speaks for itself with Romo, with that history. I reckon it's gonna buck the trend. I reckon Romo's gonna have a good game, but not a massive game.
Okay.
I reckon one of those two guys, either Raoul or Romo, will not reach the expectations. And I think it'll be Romo. So I'm gonna go for my man Walshy. I'll back him in and I'll be dictated
Love
by
it.
the numbers, considering that the Cats concede a fair few points to opposition mids. Let's do it. Let's lock it in. That is us. Lock and loaded. So, Liam, it is time now to jump into, say it with me now, Liam, together as one,
We
three.
never do this.
I know, but we'll
We
count it
never do
down.
this well.
We'll count it down. We'll count it down this time so we're in sync. Ready? Hopefully their internet's in sync.
Wait, hang on, is
Three.
it three? Is it we going on one or?
After one.
All right.
Ready? So it's 3, 2, 1, and then bang, then we start. Okay, ready? And this is riveting. 3, 2, 1. I
I
gots
got
to
to
know.
Hey, I got to know.
It's not too bad. It wasn't too bad. I had to
Was
slow
pretty
down a
close, I
bit.
reckon.
Yep, that's that. We'll take that and run. Well, Liam, the first, just to kick us off, isn't a question, but worthy of a mention nonetheless, as we had multiple messages following the first game of last round between the Dogs and the Saints. You can probably guess what it is. With the first message sent to us via James Epa. Apologies if I have butchered your surname, but he brought to our attention a very unique ding ding moment. Of
Yes.
course, last week we had one of our followers send in a screenshot of Yo and Reed standing next to each other with their jumper numbers forming the illustrious, the all glorious 69, with the scoreboard at the same time also reading for the Eagles, dinner for 269. Well, this time, Lena, has been eclipsed. I didn't think we'd ever eclipse it. We spoke of it last week as being a once-off, never to be seen again, like a meteor just going across the skies. What's Haley's comment? How many years is that? I have no idea, but I think it's every
Oh,
few years.
it can't be. It can't be, can it?
I think this is a Haley's Comet moment. So for me, Liam, I'm going to call it because James Epa, and apologies again if I'm butchering your name, he drew to our attention three Saints players in Wang. We'll call him Wang because it's funny. Wilson and Garcia scoring, you guessed it, Liam, 69.
Yes.
Three times over, ding, ding, ding in the matchup with the Dogs. Three, Liam. Talk about a ménage à trois. Tip of the cap to you, James. And he said to us, that's the only thing that the Saints are celebrating is this ménage à trois.
That's it. That is it.
Oh, very, very good.
Haley's Comet comes around every.
I don't know.
Nuts. I was hoping it was coming every 69 years, but
69
it's not.
years.
In 75 years. So we were close.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
We'll round it down. Usually, normally round it up, but we'll round it down in this case to 69 years. So
And it's
thank you, Haley's
coming.
comment.
The next
It's
time it'll
coming as well.
appear in the
Yes.
night sky is in the year
Yes.
20, 60.
S nine.
Two.
Oh. Can we slow it
The
down a
next
bit?
time? Hang on. How many
Can we
times
slow
still
it
left
down?
to
Can
go?
we send an astronaut into space and just somehow
Just
slow
slow it
down?
down.
Slow us down
Change the
so we can
years.
watch. Yeah. Change the rotation of it, the speed of it, velocity, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that'd be incredible. What are you checking now?
I'm just saying when the next time it'll be here in the year ending 69.
Okay, I'll let you look at that up whilst we delve into the. I'll read out the first question. Genuine question that was sent in by at smart underscore swans, smart swans super coach on Twitter. And they ask, is track a good option to bring in this week? I already have Walsh and am looking for a midfielder to bring in. I know he's got a high break even, but he's playing the Tigers, who of course concede bulk points. Thank you. Well, no, thank you for your question, Smart Swans super coach. And I would say that of all the times to bring track in, or at least a player a week earlier than what I guess the break even dictates, this is the time I'd probably do it with track. Obviously, a break even of 157. There's a projected score of 112 according to Supercoach Plus. They've got him projected going down 20.7, but has scored 141 in his last game against the Tigs. And as I referred to, the Tigs, they give away bulk points to opposition mids, so especially those primo mids. So for that, I think it is, in this case, a semi-sensible option to be jumping on him a week earlier. I mean, at most, as I said, you might be shorting yourself 20.7, 21K, but I do think he's going to have a bit of a day out against the Tigs. And I mean, Oliver, he's out. He was out across the bye period with surgery. Don't know if he's going to return. If he doesn't return, there's more slices of the pie there for track to feast on. So for me, I don't mind it. Liam, have you found your answer before you answer this genuine question?
It's a fair time away.
Well, but we have to cryogenically freeze ourselves in order to see it.
Yeah, it's in the year 6698.
Okay.
So just another, how many is that? It's a count. Sorry, just gonna be quick.
Another years.
61 times before it comes. It has come around 61 times before it, we get to see it.
Well, it's going to be many generations down the line, Liam.
Hopefully they'll remember us.
Exactly. Hopefully they're tuning back into this episode as it happens, and they'll be like, oh, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers were chatting about this moment. And they can be like, ding, ding, 69.
It then don't happens.
Don't know if the joke's going to run that long, but.
No, I don't know either it will either. It happens like four times in the next bloody 10,000 years. That's it. Anyway.
We're probably going to be colonizing Mars by that stage, I reckon, anyway. So maybe given that, I don't know.
We'll come if better.
Come closer to Mars earlier. Than what it would, I don't know. Anyway, we're getting into science.
Anyway, is track a good option to bring in? I'll answer this question. Yeah, I don't mind it. I think he's got a high break even, but he is playing the Tigers. I'm sure. Yeah, I don't mind it. I actually really don't. I think you'd think he's going to bounce back after his last game, and they kind of need to. Like, they're not going badly, but, you know, they need to play a bit better.
Mm.
Get some form going.
Yep.
So I don't mind it. You could potentially wait another week. It depends on what else you're doing with your team, I think, and what other options you've got. But, yeah, I don't mind bringing him in.
Yep. I did actually consider it myself as well, but then when Walshy just shot out the lights, I was like, nah, I've got to go for my boy. Mm. But, yeah, I don't mind it. But, Liam, that brings us to the end of a bit of an extended episode this time around, probably due to the fact that we're trying to work out Haley Comet's trajectory, speed, everything else, but well worth it in the end, I think. Who knows?
I think so.
But before we go, where can our listeners find us across our socials?
Yes. You can find us on YouTube at Supercoach Edge. Don't forget to like and subscribe for this brilliant content. On Twitter at Supercoach underscore Edge, Damon at DamonJ88, myself at Liam Evans underscore 95. And please do message Damon whenever you see a 69. And on Facebook and Instagram, search Supercoach Edge.
Group message. So we can both share in the fun. I do giggle every single time.
I did like that we got, we're getting pinged on the weekend every time a game.
Bulk messages. Even Adam Namith as well, one of our avid followers.
Yes.
He, have a look on YouTube in my team talk video. Every time I mentioned the number 69, he was time coding it and going ding, ding. That's the level that we're at here. Even had someone, message us talking about I think it was Skits Fritz was talking about the percentage of coaches that were putting the player on the bench as opposed to starting them on field. And it was something like 26.9%. And he was like, hey, ding, ding. We've come to, we're not at that point yet where we're clutching at straws. No doubt it will come a time, but yes, we are enjoying the nonsense as it pops up. And yes, hopefully you are too. Well, let Liam round us out for round six. Must say best of luck for the upcoming round seven. Mayo Trades hit the mark with the best 22 team, of course, and your scores head to the moon. Catch you next week.
See you guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.